Well, this morning, as we reflect on the story of Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, we're going to slow down, and we're going to take an in-depth look at each of the characters in this story. Last week in Mark chapter 10, verse 37, we saw how the disciples, James and John, asked to be seated in high positions, positions that they think they deserve. But today, in verse 46, we're going to see that Bartimaeus is seated. He's low by the road, and he's asking for mercy, which he knows that he doesn't deserve. Bartimaeus is in need, and he knows it. Meanwhile, the crowds are callous. They only know Bartimaeus as the blind beggar. Even though Bartimaeus was physically blind, he could clearly see that he needed mercy from Jesus. And Jesus stops and calls and asks and saves. Jesus is the merciful one. That's the big idea today, that Jesus is the merciful one. First, we're going to look at the place, when and where this story happened, the place. Next, we're going to observe the postures of Bartimaeus, the disciples, and the crowd. Postures. Then we'll focus on the person of Jesus Christ, who is at the center of this story, person. And finally, we'll look at the path. What does it mean to follow Jesus' path? Place, postures, person, and path. First of all, place. The first 10 chapters of Mark cover a span of about 3 years. When Jesus has been traveling with his disciples, he's been teaching and interacting, healing, casting out demons, and performing miracles all over this region. In chapters 8 and 9 and 10, Jesus has been intentional about telling the 12 disciples that he's going to be rejected by the religious leaders. He'll be falsely accused and put on trial and killed, but then he would rise again 3 days later. Bartimaeus' story coming at the end of chapter 10 is sort of like a capstone. It's the last recorded healing miracle in Mark's gospel. And it underscores a key theme that Mark has been fleshing out throughout his whole book, the identity of Jesus, who Jesus is, and what he came to do. Mark chapter 11 through 16, which we'll see in the coming weeks and months, will focus on the final week in Jesus' life. And so the story of Bartimaeus comes at a transitional point here in the book of Mark. Look with me at verse 46a. Verse 46a. They came to Jericho. Now, Jericho is about 30 kilometers northeast of Jerusalem, about a day's walk. And next week in chapter 11, we'll see Jesus enter Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The triumphal entry and Passion Week will begin. But this isn't the Jericho from the Old Testament story where Joshua and others marched around the city and God toppled the walls. No, this is a different Jericho in the New Testament. It was a unique place because even though it was in a dry desert area, it had natural springs of water which were used for irrigation to grow lush gardens with fanning palm trees, dates, almonds, and other vegetation. Jericho was called the City of Palms, and it's the last stop before Jesus enters Jerusalem. Well, let's go on. Look at verse 46b. And as he, Jesus, was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. Well, we've seen these vast crowds throughout the book of Mark. News about Jesus had spread like wildfire, and people flocked to see him wherever he went. They were drawn to see Jesus perform miracles. Many people came because they wanted to be healed themselves. People were astonished by his teaching, saying that he taught with authority. Well, after Mark has laid out the setting, he describes Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. What is the posture of Bartimaeus? Posture. Well, he's sitting. Physically, he's stationary. Bartimaeus would have knew a life of hardship and alienation. Each day he would sit on the road begging just to survive. We don't know that he had been blind from birth, or perhaps he developed a condition later on and became blind later on in life. But imagine waking up in the morning and all that you see is pitch black. And this is the same throughout the whole day. And then you go to bed and it's still pitch black, day after day after day. In antiquity, when you had a handicap like blindness, it was very difficult. You had to resort to begging to survive. Also, something that was held over you is that often people believe that the reason you have your handicap is because of the result of you or someone in your family sinning or doing something wrong. Well, lots of people would have traveled by Bartimaeus each day as he was sitting on the roadside. And with his sight gone, he would have interacted with the world in other senses, like smell. He would have been the first to smell the aroma of the fresh bread coming from the local shop. Hearing, he would have heard and overheard people as they passed by, some gossiping, others talking about politics, groups of people going out of town towards Jerusalem for the Passover. He would have heard people talk about Jesus of Nazareth. And we've seen this throughout Mark, that news of Jesus' miracles traveled quickly throughout that whole region. In fact, Bethany, the place where Lazarus was raised from the dead by Jesus, was close by Jericho. And so no doubt Bartimaeus would have heard of that story. Look with me at verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many warned him to keep quiet, but he was crying out all the more, "Have mercy on me, Son of David." When Bartimaeus realized that Jesus was there on the road, he sprang into action. And what does he cry out to Jesus? "Have mercy on me." If you're using our Mark Scripture Journal, you'll want to circle this word mercy. It occurs twice in this verse. What does the word mercy mean? What does mercy mean? Well, it's when someone shows you kindness, grace, forgiveness, even when you don't deserve it. Think of a time when you did something wrong. You were clearly guilty and deserving of some kind of punishment or consequence. But then surprisingly, someone shows you kindness and grace and forgiveness. That is mercy. That is mercy. Notice the text shows us about the heart posture of Bartimaeus. We see that he was aware of his need. He was persistent. He saw who Jesus is. He had simple faith. First of all, Bartimaeus was aware of his need, his condition. He was blind. He was helpless. He was lost. This is the complete opposite of what we've seen in Mark from many of the religious leaders who actually had the opposite view. They relied on their position and their power. But Bartimaeus had nothing to offer. He didn't have wealth. He didn't have a position of prominence in the city or in the religious community. Friend, what about you? Do you lean on your own righteousness? Do you go back to your heritage and say, "Of course I'm a Christian. My family has attended church for generations." Or, "I went to a Christian school. I've heard all the Bible stories. I'm a good person in my neighborhood. Of course I'm in good standing with God." There are two ways that we can approach God. We can try to impress him with the flimsy attempts at our goodness, or we can throw ourselves on his mercy alone, knowing that only he is good. Do you hear Bartimaeus' persistence? He's loud, and people are trying to shush him, but the text says that he repeats his cries to Jesus all the more when people try to quiet him. He's not giving up, isn't he? Till he hears from Jesus himself. He's that desperate, and also that hopeful. Because Bartimaeus saw who Jesus really was. Bartimaeus saw who Jesus really was. Sitting by the road day after day, Bartimaeus would have had time to think and to contemplate. And the text implies that Bartimaeus knew of the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. He calls Jesus Son of David. And this is significant. The term Son of David goes directly to Jesus' identity. There are 17 verses throughout the New Testament which describe Jesus as the Son of David. About 1,000 years before Jesus was born in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God made a promise to King David that out of his family lineage would come the promised Messiah. And Jesus is the promised Messiah. When people referred to Jesus as the Son of David, they meant that he was the long-awaited deliverer, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, the one who had come to save. People would have seen blind Bartimaeus on the road begging each day, thinking that he doesn't know anything. But Bartimaeus did know that Jesus was the Son of David, the promised Messiah. God had opened Bartimaeus' spiritual eyes to the true identity of Jesus of Nazareth. Next, Bartimaeus has simple faith. He had simple faith. It was his faith that motivated to cry out for mercy. It was his faith that wouldn't be silenced. It was his faith which prompted him to ask Jesus to make him able to see. Now, if I could have all the children's attention again. Kids, let me share an illustration that can help us understand the meaning of this word faith. Adults, you'll be able to relate to this as well. When I was a kid, I'd be playing outside and my mom would call me in for dinner. Of course, playing outside all the time, I was always hungry, so I was ready for her call. And when she called, I had faith. I trusted my mom that when she called me, and I completely believed that there would be good things to eat when I came in. I didn't have to plant the vegetables in the garden, and I wasn't responsible to do the shopping or work at a job for the groceries. That was done by my parents. But I only had to come to the table and eat. In a similar way, Jesus calls us to come. Come to me, he says. I've done everything. Have faith in me and my ability to save you from your sins and to give you a new life. That's what Jesus says. Well, maybe you're here today and you don't have very much experience in church. Maybe your knowledge of the Bible is very small. But be assured that regardless of your age, regardless of your experience or your background, you can receive Jesus with simple trust, with simple faith. Bartimaeus had a posture of faith. Last week, Pastor Anwar preached about the two disciples of Jesus, James and John, who had a posture of pride. Jesus asked the same question to both James and John in Mark 10:36, and here to Bartimaeus in Mark 10:51. The question he asked was, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus often used questions to help people to see what was really inside their hearts. I think we're meant to see the contrast of the two answers here between James and John and Bartimaeus. The disciples' answer, which we saw last week, clearly reveals their desires. They wanted to have the top job. They wanted to be at Jesus' right and left. They wanted to rule alongside him. They think that they've earned this. They think they have the ability to do this, and they're basing it on their merit. They say, "We can drink this cup." But when Bartimaeus answers, he's clear about his desire. He wants Jesus to work in his life. He wants mercy. Based on Jesus' identity, Jesus' merit and ability, and not his own. He holds up his empty beggar's cup and says, "I have nothing." Kids, I want you to look at the coloring sheet now. There's a picture there of James and John. James and John ask Jesus for glory. They think that they're great people who deserve it. But what did Bartimaeus ask for? Mercy. Because he knows that only Jesus is great. Now, let's look at the posture of the crowd. The people around Bartimaeus warned him to keep quiet. To them, he was just a nuisance. They were there to see Jesus. They didn't want to be bothered by this beggar. And they treated him as if he wasn't even there, that he didn't exist. And I think Jesus' brief command in Mark 10:49, where Jesus said, "Call him," is really meant to convict the crowd of their callousness and to convict us. The people see Bartimaeus as a problem, and the disciples often saw people like this, but Jesus has a different view of people. Look with me at verse 49b. "So they called the blind man and said to him, 'Have courage, get up, he's calling you.'" It's kind of humorous, isn't it? The sudden change of heart of the crowd. Now they tell Bartimaeus to get up and to go to Jesus. When Jesus stopped and told the crowd to call for Bartimaeus, you can imagine that time stood still. Quiet would have descended over that crowded, narrow street. People would have wondered, what's going to happen now? What's Jesus going to do now? Well, we've looked at the place, we've looked at the postures, and now we'll look at the person. What does this story show us about the person of Jesus? Well, the first thing that Jesus did in response to Bartimaeus' cries was to stop. Remember, Jesus was on his way now to Jerusalem, knowing what was ahead, that he was going to go to the cross, yet he stopped for this one man, Bartimaeus. Friends, there is no compassion like the compassion of Jesus. Dear one, when we're hurting, we often feel like we're all alone. But know that the same Jesus who stopped for Bartimaeus will stop and hear you. In times of hardship, we can pray with the promise of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, which says, "Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need." Ultimately, it was Christ who came to Bartimaeus. It was Christ who called him. He could not come to Jesus on his own strength. Jesus called out his faith. Time and time again in Mark's gospel, we've seen this, where Jesus moves towards pain and suffering. Moving towards Bartimaeus in mercy, Jesus asked him in verse 51, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, Bartimaeus, as we've seen, has already asked for mercy, but Jesus wanted him to be more specific. Of course, Jesus already knows the answer, doesn't he? He knows all things, but he's inviting Bartimaeus to articulate it, to draw out his faith. Well, Bartimaeus has faith. He has trust in Jesus and earnestly wants to have his sight, knowing that Jesus can heal him if he so desires. Look at the second half of verse 51. "Rabboni," the blind man said to him, "I want to see." This word, Rabboni, is significant. The disciples sometimes called Jesus Rabbi, which means teacher, but Rabboni means my teacher, master. It means, teacher, you have all authority and I will submit to you. That's what Bartimaeus is communicating here. Jesus is either king or nothing. And if he's king, we must worship him and obey him as ruler of the universe. And this is the best posture that we can have. While the posture of the disciples, James and John, was an overestimation of their ability, and the posture of the crowd was really a combination of callousness and hardness and curiosity, the posture here of Bartimaeus is trust. It's trust and submission to King Jesus and his ability. Well, finally, because Jesus calls, Bartimaeus has a new path in life. Path. Look at verse 50. I love this description. He threw off his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Now, these are the actions of a man who's all in. He threw, he jumped, he came. Bartimaeus isn't sitting anymore. Let's go on. Look at verse 52. Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has saved you." And immediately he could see and began to follow Jesus on the road. Can you imagine the look on Bartimaeus' face when he could suddenly see? Yes, it was wonderful for him to be able to regain his sight, but the greater need which Bartimaeus needs, which we all need, is forgiveness of our sins and to be united with Jesus. And this is what Jesus did on the cross. He gave his own life voluntarily, and that's the length he was willing to go to show us mercy. We saw in last week's passage, chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." We were under the wrath of God, judgment because of our sins against God, and Jesus is the rescuer. He gave his life as a ransom to pay the penalty which we deserved. We call this the gospel, the good news. And it's a proclamation, it's an announcement of what Jesus has done. The gospel is not just for our initial salvation when we put our faith in Jesus, but it's for all of life. The gospel is packed with good news about our past, our present, and our future. Well, Bartimaeus is no longer sitting by the road. He's following Jesus on the road. The first person he sees with his new eyes is Jesus, and now his eyes are fixed on Christ. Bartimaeus would not have known what was ahead as he followed Jesus towards Jerusalem. Upon his arrival of Jerusalem, Jesus would welcome the celebration and the shouts of Hosanna, but then things would turn, and Bartimaeus would have been with those who witnessed Jesus' arrest, his horrific crucifixion, and his joyous resurrection. Scholars believe that Mark preserved Bartimaeus' name here in the story because he became a permanent part of the early church in Jerusalem. And Bartimaeus had a story of mercy from Jesus that would be told for generations, which we can hear today. Bartimaeus experienced spiritual and physical restoration. Well, we all love a happy ending, don't we? But we also know that along life's path, there will be heartache, there will be disappointment and tragedy because we live in a broken world. And you may be facing challenges today with your health or your finances or your future. And we can pray and ask God for healing or to change our circumstances. But sometimes God does not heal. Sometimes he doesn't change our circumstances. What then? Do we just say, "Well, I tried that. It doesn't work. God isn't as good as I thought he was"? No. In times like that, we have to go back to the truth of who God is, that he is sovereign, that he loves and cares for us, even when things don't work out as we plan. Even if Bartimaeus' eyesight had not been restored that day, he could have still followed Jesus with his physical blindness. It would have just looked a little different. Life is sometimes hard, friends, but Jesus is always merciful. Jesus is always merciful. Friends, if we want to follow Jesus, we must be like Bartimaeus. We must acknowledge our need, that we have nothing to offer except our spiritual poverty, our blindness, our sin. Have you come to this realization? Bartimaeus cried out for mercy. He knew that Jesus was the Son of David, the promised Messiah, the Savior. And Bartimaeus followed. Christianity is not just an intellectual agreement about the facts of who Jesus is, but it's a life of following Jesus. A relationship with God starts with Him. And the Bible tells us that even the small faith that we have is a gift from God. We are spiritually blind, and only God can break through the hardness of our hearts to show us our need of a Savior. It's Jesus' mercy that reveals the prideful, glory-seeking nature of our hearts, as He did with the disciples. Jesus, in His mercy, calls out our callousness as He did with the crowd. Jesus, the merciful one, went all the way to the cross to show us His mercy, and He descended into the darkness of death. Because Jesus is the King and Master of the universe, He overcame death and was resurrected from the dead. And now He sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, interceding for us, preparing a place for those who know Him. And brothers and sisters, until that time, we are on the path, like Bartimaeus was. We're on the path together here at City Bible Church, following Jesus. We're learning, we're growing, we're serving together. And no doubt, we don't do it perfectly. We make mistakes, but that's when we have to fix our gaze on Jesus, in whom our righteousness is anchored. And as these gospel truths sink into our hearts, as they move our affections, we are empowered to love and to follow Jesus. He is the Son of David, the Savior, the God who is full of mercy. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise and worship You. You are majestic and above all. And yet You have shown us mercy by sending Jesus to take the punishment on the cross. We're grateful for Jesus' resurrection from the dead, in which we find our hope. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would lead and teach us along this journey of following Jesus. Amen.